The Holocaust was one of the defining events of the 20th century, at least in the West. Images of millions of Jews systematically murdered in Nazi extermination camps stand as a symbol of pure evil in Western consciousness. The Holocaust has contributed to defining the sense of identity and political views of generations in Israel and elsewhere. And it's carried in its wake two key issues that still blight relations between Israelis and Arabs today. The charge that Arabs deny or downplay the Holocaust, and the accusation that Israelis fail to acknowledge the suffering experienced by Palestinians who became refugees when Israel declared independence.
They are coming to our home and they arrest him at the middle of the night. And he used to say, "We are not the Germans, that they are behaving to us like this."
Many Israelis are deeply traumatized by the Holocaust. Still, we just view it as this giant ocean of unresolved suffering. And it contributes to the situations today.
I'm Mike Wooldridge, and this is The Documentary from the BBC World Service. In this edition of Heart and Soul, I'll be hearing the story of one man who, 20 years ago, took it into his own hands to challenge both of those issues by educating his fellow Arabs about the Holocaust and by reminding Jewish Israelis of the suffering of his own Palestinian people.
I bought that picture, put it in the exhibition, and I declared this is a Holocaust museum. They were shocked. What an Arab Palestinian make a Holocaust museum?
In this episode of The Right Thing, which explores acute dilemmas faced by individuals, I'll be asking Khaled Kassab Mahamid why he persisted with his museum project despite opposition from all sides. And I'll be finding out how his own Muslim background underpinned his actions, which, from the perspective of today's tensions, may seem more relevant than ever. When he was young, Khaled Mahamid's family lived in a place called Il Ajon, in ancient times known as Armageddon, a place associated in religion with cosmic battle. Khaled says his Palestinian father was an imam who also had communist leanings. Their land was confiscated in the Nakba, the catastrophe, as Arabs call the expulsion of Palestinians by Zionist militia and Israeli forces, as the State of Israel was created in 1948. They were driven out to the growing town of Umm el-Fahem. This family history gave Khaled much food for thought.
When I was reading the Quran and listening to my father explaining about his personal life with the Israeli administration, so when I began to read the Quran, and I found there that the Quran is 90% talking about Judaism. Every Muslim in all the world wakes up in the morning and he prays for God, and he have to say every day 30 times, "Please God, bless us the same way you blessed Moses and Jesus."
So early on in his life, Khaled was struck by the overlapping nature of the texts and practices held sacred by Muslims, Jews and Christians. It led him to put religious practice at arm's length. He describes himself as secular, yet he clearly retains a personal sense of faith and a strong moral code.
I'm not practicing the ceremonies like praying and fasting. It doesn't mean that I'm not believing in the scripts and God. It means that I'm not practicing, that's all. It's amazing when you understand that the main goal of the religion is to make people living in peace.
Khaled says that he became curious about what Jews had experienced at the hands of the Nazis when he heard his father, a Palestinian activist, talk about how he was treated by the Israeli security forces.
They are coming to our home at that time and they arrest him at the middle of the night. And he used to say, "We are not the Germans, that they are behaving to us like this." When you listen to a sentence like this, so the Germans did something to the Jews. My mind have to think about the Germans. What the Germans did to the Jews, what the Israelis did to us. So I have to analyze this sentence. So my mind began to search about the Holocaust. I began my life with my mind looking for what the Germans did to the Jews.
That's how Khaled came to the view that the Holocaust was so important in what was happening in his region. At the time, he was living and working as a lawyer in Nazareth, a town in Israel perhaps best known as the place where Jesus grew up. Today, its population is largely Israeli-Arab. There were disturbing events there in the early years of the 2000s, as unrest between the Arab and Jewish communities grew.
A short time ago here in Nazareth, gunfire was heard and noisy carloads of young Jewish Israelis were again heading towards Arab areas. Tension is still running high.
This is a report from the BBC's Robin Lustig from the year 2000. But both Khaled and his daughter Asil remember Nazareth as an essentially peaceful place, affected, though, by the segregation that's long undermined true coexistence between all communities in Israel.
Nazareth is a very religiously diverse place, but mostly you see Muslims and Christians. You hear mosques and you hear churches. You hear the adhan, the prayer calls, and you hear the church's ring bells. The problem in Nazareth was the segregation between the Jewish community and the Arab community. Because Arabs did not want to lose their culture. They wanted to speak Arabic. They wanted to do Palestinian traditions. But the integration of the Jews with their new traditions, their new language, was very difficult to accept, specifically that they integrated themselves as in war.
So this is the climate of continual tension in which Khaled becomes increasingly convinced that there needs to be more awareness of the Holocaust among Arabs. The legacy of the Holocaust, and on the Palestinian side, the legacy of the Nakba, their expulsion from their homelands, both are always there, the two defining traumas of decades of the Arab-Israeli conflict.
I was reading the newspapers every day, all the time. I was reading, like, it's the Holocaust, it's written there. I was reading the Jewish newspaper, maybe 10 or 20 times, the Holocaust. If you mention the word Holocaust, especially the Arab city of Nazareth define themselves as Palestinians, victims of the Nakba. Well, I'm Palestinian victim of the Nakba, and I'm Israeli identity, but it was a very, very huge challenge. But I have the challenge. I'm convinced that this subject has to be understood by Palestinians. If the Holocaust is understood by Palestinians, no way that the weapons and violence can take place in the relations between Palestinians and Israelis. So we have to go back to our humanity, to our religion, to our Jesus Christ, to Prophet Muhammad, to Moses, what they are teaching us how to deal with each other, not to be defeated by Hitler's actions.
It was on a visit to the Yad Vashem National Holocaust Memorial in Jerusalem that Khaled finally settled on the way he believed he could increase knowledge and understanding among Arabs about the Holocaust. He would launch a Holocaust museum in Nazareth, using some of the pictures from concentration camps and elsewhere that make such a powerful impact on visitors to Yad Vashem. Khaled bought copies of these pictures from the Yad Vashem shop. His daughter, Asil, remembers the visit well, even though she was only a child at the time.
From the inside, it didn't really look like a museum because it was too modern. I was used to seeing a museum with statues, art, and, you know, something happy and something to show culture. This specific experience was not like that. It was all black and white pictures, very dim lights, an aura of suffering.
One hall in particular sticks in Asil's memory.
In that hall, it was that just one spotlight in the middle of the room, and all around it were just pictures. And I think that's the hall that my dad actually recreated or tried to recreate as much as he possibly could in his museum in Nazareth.
There are very famous photos. For example, the mass grave of the Jewish bodies, and there's the Nazi is shooting at the head of a Jewish, the child with the hands up. All these pictures, very famous. It's from Yad Vashem, I put it there. My aim is to tell the Jewish people narrative about the Holocaust. You can't cover the truth like cover the sun with the blanket. I bought that pictures, put it in the exhibition, and I declared this is a Holocaust museum. You know, it's not that the facilities, which is important, but the declaration. They were shocked. What an Arab Palestinian make a Holocaust museum.
Khaled opened his museum while the ashes of 9/11 were still warm.
Jewish historian and commentator Dr. Robert Satloff, executive director of the Washington Institute for Near East Policy, remembers visiting the museum in its early days. He could immediately see the challenge Khaled was putting before both the main population groups, Jewish and Arab Israelis, in his often fractious country. It was clear that not everyone would be in favor.
This was a moment when there was great cultural, political division between Arabs and the West, in which the Holocaust was not a topic one spoke about in polite company in Arab countries. It was extraordinarily rare for them to engage on this topic themselves. And that's what Khaled did. It's not just in the wake of 9/11. Khaled opened his museum at a time of the Second Palestinian Intifada. We're talking 2004, 2005, when conflict between Israelis and Palestinians, just a few miles away from where he lived, was raging. And so it was a pretty brave thing to do, to bring the story of Jewish suffering to his own community.
You're listening to the story of Khaled Kassab Mahamid for the documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm Mike Wooldridge. Opening his museum soon caused Khaled problems in his own family.
My family, so we're shocked, very shocked.
He said some of his close family would not even come to dinner with him and asked him to distance himself from them. You said just a moment ago that they were shocked. How many people actually came to see it rather than simply watch it on the television or read about it in the newspapers?
No one came to see it.
No one came?
No one came. No. No one Arab came to see it. No one.
No Arab came. Although the world's media were interested in his museum, with many visiting and writing about it, Khaled wanted his own people to hear his message. They didn't come to his exhibition, so he took it on the road. He travelled with his photos from the Holocaust, some up to a metre wide, some printed on small cards, to places of tension and trouble between Palestinians and Israeli forces on the West Bank and elsewhere. The whole initiative intrigued Harvey Stein, an Israeli-American documentary maker.
I'm an Israeli Jew. I'm Jewish, and I have a Jewish wife who grew up in Israel all her life. Many Israelis are deeply traumatized by the Holocaust. Still, we just view it as this giant ocean of unresolved suffering. And it still is very much an undigested trauma. And it contributes to the situations today where Israeli Jews, in some sense, have no faith in a safe future.
Ni'aleen is a town along the wall the Israelis built to separate Palestinian and Israeli areas. It became a place of regular and increasingly violent confrontations, a place Khaled would go to in the hope that he could help to calm things down.
I have a duty in my life to go take this declaration that Palestinians have to understand the Holocaust. Not to go with them with guns, to go with stories about the Holocaust. It has more effect. One picture equals to 1,000 words. One picture from the Holocaust equals 6 million words.
You're talking about 6 million were killed. And you have only the gun to use against these innocent people?
On this occasion, filmmaker Harvey Stein went with him.
Khaled picked those villages because they were in the midst of having sometimes violent demonstrations against the soldiers. Nilin had had several violent demonstrations at that point. Khaled was going into the cauldron, basically. We went several times to Nilin, and Khaled did his usual powerful thing where he took these photos out into the public during demonstrations, and he showed them to the soldiers, the Israeli soldiers, who were maybe, 20, 30 meters away.
For Khaled, it was important to remind the Israeli soldiers that they shouldn't be inflicting suffering on others after the suffering their own people had been through in the Holocaust.
We breathed tear gas 5 or 6 times. It's terrible. You tear like crazy, your eyes tear, and you cough. And with enough tear gas, I think you can be injured. But he and I experienced a lot of physical discomfort.
Khaled's mission succeeded with a skeptical fellow Palestinian who was imprisoned by the Israelis more than 4 decades ago for being a member of the Palestine Liberation Organization. He is Radi Abdul Jawad.
I sort of thought he might be a collaborator or somebody who works for the Israeli authorities, but in fact it wasn't that. His intention was to show the Palestinians and the Arabs that the Holocaust did really happen. I like the idea because the Israelis themselves might also change if we remind them of this, not to cause pain for them, but to let them remember that they were once oppressed by other people so that they don't have to do it to other people like the Palestinian people.
It was with Radi Abdul Jawad that Khaled had one of the most surprising encounters of all with the Israeli forces at the Kalandia checkpoint on the road between Jerusalem and the Palestinian town of Ramallah. Khaled had small ID card-sized versions of Holocaust pictures to show at checkpoints.
Radi Abdul Jawad was driving the car, so the soldier asked for the ID card. He gave him his ID card with the picture from the Holocaust. And the soldier was shocked. She told him, "What is this?" He told him, "This is a picture from the Holocaust." And she invited the chef of that checkpoint, Kalandia. My friend began to explain to him about the Holocaust, what he's doing. He go to the refugee camps, make exhibitions and make explanations and lectures about the Holocaust. Then he asked him to open the baggage of the car and he saw all the posters from the Holocaust. Then the officer, which name is Daniel, my friend told him, "Look, I have the ID with the picture of the Holocaust. You have the gun." And the officer just stood ready, soldiers ready for his duties, and he delivered the gun to the Palestinian ex-prisoner, told him, "Take the gun and give me the picture."
And this is how Radi remembers this extraordinary incident and what the officer said to him.
"Let's replace our weapons, your pictures for our guns, for my machine gun." He exactly said this.
Did he actually go to hand it over, a gun?
Not actually, but he suggested this. Yes. He said, why do you envy us for being soldiers? We are not much better than you. We are worse than you because we suffer like you, but we are oppressors and you are oppressed."
Were you surprised at this?
We were shocked, not surprised. We did not believe that this could happen by an Israeli soldier. He is supposed treat us very badly, but he did not. He just let us go. It gave me some hope that if I try to show the Israelis that the Jews once suffered of this, they should not repeat it to other people.
But not everyone was so supportive. Some Palestinian academics and even some Jewish organizations criticized him. Those we approached were unwilling to be interviewed for this program. Some said it was too long ago. Others said the current tensions in the region make the subject irrelevant. Robert Satloff, the historian, thinks one key issue that's made Khaled's initiative controversial is that he displayed images of the Holocaust alongside those of Palestinians suffering at the hands of Israelis, implying, for some, that the Nakba was as serious a crime as the Holocaust.
One saw the walls covered with historical photographs, with all those iconic photos that one recalls of persecution of Jews and the concentration camps, those classic photos. And then the other part of it were photos of Israeli soldiers manhandling Palestinians in maybe in refugee camps or the streets of West Bank cities and violent exchanges between young Palestinians and Israelis.
It was these images, side by side, which were problematic for Israeli Jews.
They didn't agree because he had this historical equivalence theme that, you know, our suffering, their suffering. Historically, it is deeply problematic. There is no doubt about it. If you're looking at it as a professional historian, you know, you'd give him an F. If you're looking at it as somebody trying to build cultural bridges, then you have to grade on a curve. I'm not going to criticize the critics either, because their yardstick is something else. And so the critics can be right, and Khaled can be right, if one just looks at it in a different way.
A story from Harvey Stein about the funding of his documentary is telling. He couldn't get funds to make it from any Israeli TV company.
They agreed that this project was very dangerous and very controversial. Many viewers might have thought that we were comparing the occupation to the Holocaust, that the movie would somehow imply that the occupation was literally a Holocaust against Palestinians. I never finished the project because we couldn't get enough support because it was too controversial.
Khaled has said that his mission is rooted in his knowledge of the Quran and his belief that all faiths want peace.
All the Jewish people, all the Muslims, all the Christians, they are paralyzed when they listen the word Holocaust. We have to be humans. We have to think about the Torah and the New Testament and the Quran. This is the power driving us, not what Hitler did to the Jewish people.
Khaled Mahamid's museum closed its doors in 2015. In making this program, more than one person has said to us that it was right for its time and that maybe it continues to be needed, but now is not the time to try to revive it. So why did Khaled allow it to run down? There was a crisis point in 2006 when he was refused a visa to go to Iran for a conference where Holocaust deniers would be strongly represented. His daughter, Asil.
At that moment, I was so scared. There was a lot of discussions happening in the house. How are they going to deal with the Iranian authority? How are they going to deal with the Israeli authority? How is he going to go? But what happened eventually is that I started acting up in school. And that's how I remember it from my perspective. Because I was really scared. I was scared for him. I was scared for our family. And in my reason, it was like, okay, if he's going to go to Iran, then they might assassinate him. Because we weren't protected. There was no security around us. And I felt that Iran was the biggest threat. I thought Iran was a nuclear power aimed against my dad.
Fears for his family's safety, the need to work to send his children to university, and ill health all combined to curb Khaled's activities. But his passion seems undiminished. And to him, the cause remains highly relevant.
I did the only right thing in the world to be done. We Palestinians, as part of this conflict, have to have a solution. If we understand the Holocaust, we will achieve peace. That peace will make the Jewish people accept the right of return of all Palestinians, because the Holocaust made the fear in the soul of the Jewish people not to see a peaceful solution. Palestinians think that I'm doing this thing to get some money or to betray them, all this. But I'm not doing this from that way, from that source. I'm doing it from my belief that pain shapes consciousness. And in the Holocaust, there's a lot of pain, which is far, far away from to compare it with the Nakba. And understanding the Holocaust is understanding the way to peace. And this is the right thing to do.
But as he reflects on the commitment he's made to his Holocaust Museum and his related activities, does Khaled now feel the price he's paid has been too high?
At that time, I could sit and make $100,000 in my business. It's 10 years of not making revenue from my own work. Another price I paid is, so I have two children, my son and my daughter. They haven't their dad, but they saw him risking his life, and God would compensate me a few years ahead. He takes me with, to heaven, and I know where I will sit, beside Jesus or beside Muhammad there. So,
Khaled Kassab Mahamid, still convinced today that he did the right thing, to try to educate his fellow Palestinians about the Holocaust in order to help bring peace to his region. You've been listening to The Documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm Mike Wooldridge, and the producer for CTVC was Alex Strangways Booth, with production support from Katie Harris.